Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Welcome to Car Wax. This is Michael, your bougie black brother, and we're here for our music segment, and I'm here with my co-host, Sean.
Ew.
And we got a special guest in the house from On Deck TV podcast, Animal Brown. What's going on, bro?
Man, what's good with you guys, fellas?
Yeah, we chilling. So he got surprised, too, because he had to take the trip up top.
Man. Feel like I crossed state lines.
Almost.
I'm happy to be here, man.
No, we're happy to have you. Great podcast. You know, I follow the brothers on there. Good hip hop. Good information. The one thing I always listen to them is the info, because they go from here, they go from there, and then I say, "Yo, Sean, maybe we should look at this." So, kind of good information. So,
I appreciate it, man.
So, tell us a little about how you got your setup, you know, and things going, bro.
Absolutely, man. As you mentioned, the On Deck TV podcast, me and my co-host Spike Lou, he's been my friend since we were maybe 10 years old.
Damn.
So, those arguments and those jokes, that's been going on for years. But we just basically do a weekly podcast every Wednesday. Debating hip-hop. We like to call it like a pardon an interruption of hip-hop, if you're familiar with the ESPN show.
No doubt.
And we just debate, have an original topic, a guest every blue moon. But, you know, just good barbershop talk, what you do when you're debating rap, when you're playing 2K and shit.
Yeah, and even on top of that, you throw in a couple of little sports and shit.
True. Yeah,
a couple of little things. So it's barbershop talk, but with the centered on hip-hop.
Absolutely. And coming with a Southern perspective, we felt that's what was missing.
Yep.
A lot of the pop and hip hop podcasts are New York based, which is absolutely cool. But we feel like the South got something to say too.
Always.
Of course.
Always. So speaking of that, we wanted to have two new artists, new to some, but and been out there for others. Really wanted to start with Lil Uzi Vert, because he's out there. This nigga is straight up what? Billboard number one.
Yeah.
200 album, you know, you just set the shit off.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, who the fuck? But I listened to it, and then what Sean does to me is he said, look, you need to strip away your fucking thoughts. I know you're a New York head, but you need to strip away your thoughts and start listening to what's here, what's now.
What's now. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So we usually started off with the gish. So... Lil Uzi Vert, you got, Adam?
Man, you know what? I was digging this Lil Uzi Vert, man. It's Love Is Rage 2. I was looking forward to it because, much like you were just saying, I'm a little closed-minded. I'm a little old in my ways when somebody's telling me about a new artist.
Right.
Back in the day, when you told me about a new artist, they either usually had bars or beats or a combination of the two.
Right.
So when you tell me something about a new artist, now that's what I'm expecting. Then you get somebody like an Uzi Vert and they're sing-songy. They may be mumbling, maybe not. you know, looking forward to it, and I was digging it at the same time.
Cool. So what's up, Sean?
So I learned about Lil Uzi Vert when he dropped his mixtape. What is it, Lil Uzi Vert the World?
Yep.
Nice mixtape. Yep. You know, it was for me personally, it was a great introduction to him. Because it was like, okay, he's original. Okay, his beats aren't the same as everybody's. Okay, he's really not replicating anyone out here. So when I first heard that mixtape, I was like, okay, that's nice. That's real nice. But then the next mixtape came out and I was like, maybe it was a little too watered down or maybe he overdid it. But I was still anticipating the album. I didn't know it was coming out. But I knew that since the Bad and Bougie came out earlier this year, that he had no choice but to drop something. And he should have dropped it earlier, but thank goodness he dropped it before the end of the year. With that being said, this album reminds me of later, not the young Wayne, but the later Wayne.
Oh, wow. Really?
Because I remember when you were like, man, I don't mess with Wayne. Or I remember phases of Wayne. I'll just say it like that. Right, we have the Wayne with Cash Money and the Hot Boys. Then we have Wayne by himself. Then we have Wayne after he established he was the greatest rapper alive. Yep. Wayne after he established he was the greatest rapper alive is like a lot of these young artists' favorite rapper.
Right.
True.
So when you be like, okay, who's your favorite rapper? And you're talking to a 26-year-old or a 24-year-old, the first person they're going to say is Wayne.
Clearly.
The first person they're going to say is Wayne. So going back to Vert, I'm listening to some of these tracks, the Love Is Raised tracks, and I'm like, okay, they sound good. They sound, whoa, that was kind of Wayne-ish right there. Oh, that was kind of Wayne-ish right there. But not taking nothing from them.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Right. But that's what I do. When I hear a new artist or I hear certain people, I'm like, okay, that's where you got it from. But it also lets me know how far deep into hip-hop you are.
True.
You know what I'm saying? True. Lil Vert's only as far as his age.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas Kendrick Lamar goes back
deep
as far as Dre. You know what I'm saying? But going back to the album was definitely... I like the album. I like the direction that he went. It was Lil Uzi Vert. The record label didn't change anything that he was presenting, which really made me realize that, okay, he could have put this as a mixtape. Even if he wanted to, he could put all these tracks on as a mixtape. But he made it an album, and it was like, okay, that's what's up, Vert. Yep. That's what's up.
So, I got you. So... You know, I roll into it like, here's another right. one of
Some
these.
Some more
niggas.
Trash.
This trap shit once a fucking game.
Right.
But it was, so I slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started reading. After I started reading, then I went to, what's that, Luke versus the World.
Yeah.
True.
So I listened to that. So when after I listened to that, I turned around and said, okay.
Right.
I see why they liked them.
Right.
I definitely see it. So when I heard the new one, I kind of like the new one better than the mixtape.
Oh, most definitely.
No, but I listened to the first one, and I was like, what the fuck?
Okay.
But then when I heard that, I was like, I see where he's going. So the way I started listening to now shit, mm-hmm. I got to see where you came from.
Yeah.
So when you find that out and then you lay it down, then you kind of like, I got it. You got some serious jumping in the club type shit.
Yeah. Right.
Then you got a couple of the sing song, but he does it very well.
He does. Yeah. Uniquely.
He does it really well.
Uniquely.
Yep. That's true. Yep. Melody game is strong.
Yeah.
Yep. So he rose in that. So I was like, okay. And then the trap music is pretty much on point.
Yeah. Right.
You can't say, he sounds like, no, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
But they put in a little more flavors on the top. And mm-hmm. you know me, I'm always listening to how you flavor the beat.
Right.
Not the same old shit that right. you heard before. So they flavored in a whole lot of good things for him. Mm-hmm. But he played with the beats. He used everything that he needed to do. The best thing he did for me was he was natural.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had a natural flow to what he was doing.
I agree. And, man, you know how I was introduced to Uzi? I follow DJ Drama. Of course, that's DJ Drama's artist.
Mm-hmm.
I follow him on IG. And when he first came out, literally every other post on Drama's page was my new artist, Lil Uzi Vert. He was shoving it down my throat. That automatically turned me off to him.
Okay.
Like, off wham. I don't like when things are forced. Because it feels manufactured. It just feel like you put some money up.
Yep.
And that's why you just pumping it.
Yeah, pushing it.
I have to push it.
Yeah, because I got my money behind it.
I'm invested.
I can't waste my money. Shoot.
Which doesn't mean it's good. It just means you got money on the line.
Right.
So
exactly.
Once I got over that, and then you could kind of argue where the whole mumble rap, air quote, term kind of was birthed, maybe with him, maybe with Young Thug, maybe.
Right.
So when you think that's kind of where your head goes. And so I gave the Uzi versus the World a little bit of clock. Didn't really like it. Again, was a little bit turned off by the force of the promo, and the sound was just too left field. I didn't even want to give it time to even try to understand it.
Wow.
When I heard him on the Meek album earlier this year.
Oh, yeah. He murdered that.
He snapped.
Yeah, he murdered that.
I said, wait a minute.
That was the mixtape, mind you. That was the Dreamcatchers 4, was it?
No, the wins and losses. He was on wins and losses. He snapped.
Okay.
I thought he took off. I was like, wait a minute. Let me double back and pay a little bit more attention. The EXO Tour Life song was on the radio, and I ain't really. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah. You could barely hear him on that. I'm gonna be honest with you.
What are you talking about, bro? But I heard EXO Tour Life. It completely changed my mind about Dude, and I looked at him in a whole nother light. I stopped being so pure and so based on what I came up. When you hear the rock rendition, it's just good music. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And because I grew up listening to rock, Nirvana. I still don't know what Smells Like Teen Spirit means 25 years later. I still don't know what that shit means, but I don't hold that against Nirvana or Smashing Pumpkins.
Right.
I just give them credit.
Corn,
so I can't,
Nine Inch Nails.
I can't explain all of that shit. But I don't hold that against them, so I can't do Uzi like that either.
Oh, yeah.
He snapped.
Yeah. Fuck that checkup.
Yes.
Fuck that checkup. Yeah, man. But see, he from Pennsylvania. He from Philly.
Yeah, so Philly shit.
Yeah. So they've been messing with each other the long way, shoot, since Vert came out. So, you know, I got to give it to him. But to your point, Animal, I totally agree with you, but I also noticed that you said that these rappers, you said that people being presented as rappers,
yeah,
is too much of a confusion, because when you're being presented as a rapper and you hear it and it's not a rap album,
right,
you misjudge the album for what it is.
Off top, yeah, most definitely.
Go ahead and get a little more detail into that.
Like, I'm going to give you a prime example. When Drake first hit the scene.
First
hit the scene, my man was like, yo, the Drake Kid, he nice. The So Far Gone mixtape, check it out. I'm like, shit, let me get to it.
Right.
So again, I'm thinking beats or bars. I'm going to have one of the two.
He signed with Wayne.
Wayne was hot. First song is Houston, Atlanta, Vegas.
Well, first off, I'm going to go into the album cover. The album cover was him in like a fall background, and he had like a French coat on, looking on.
You see what I'm saying? Looking crazy.
So it was like, so initially it was like, okay, this is going to be some rap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I totally agree. Continue. Go ahead.
You see what I'm saying? So when you hit play and the first song is Houston, Atlanta, Vegas.
No rap.
And I'm like, what is it? Yeah, I'm like, what? Why my man sent me out on? Like, what is this? Why he sent me out? Is this a joke?
But
it immediately turned me off. I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. And you could argue Drake doing the rapping and the singing and being nice to a certain extent at both kind of changed the game in that direction,
yeah,
to where it's
definitely
cool to sing now and cool to harmonize. Even though it had been done before, Nelly
made it acceptable.
He made more it acceptable.
More right. acceptable.
Yeah. And rap, because he could also spit too.
Yeah.
So he got the pass, so to speak. But when I first heard it, it threw me completely off. I didn't know what to expect. So then when he eventually did rap on maybe number 3 or number 4, I was already clocked out. Until I had to double back and clear my head and then come back again. And then come back.
Right. Okay, so how do you feel about the Lil Wayne rock album?
I thought it was garbage.
How do you feel about the Common's Electric Circus?
I thought it was extra garbage.
How do you feel about the Childish Gambino's most recent album?
I thought it was amazing.
Now, that's the catch. So what happened in between Wayne and Childish Gambino? That's my question. Because I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it comes to a point where you gotta realize that, okay, hold on. Rap ain't what rap is, what we grew up with no more.
Yeah.
So what happened in between Childish Gambino and Lil Wayne?
Childish Gambino gave me Andre 3000 with that album, The Love Below.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all take it back. That's what that was, in my opinion. So I was kind of familiar with it. And I know, and Childish Gambino raps and sings. At
right.
the same time,
right.
Wayne,
right. Constantly.
Wayne is more. He rap. He tries to do the auto tune singing, but
right.
we know
right.
that's
right.
not his lane. So when he tried to do a rock album, I thought it was atrocious. It was maybe 3 or 4 songs on that I rocked with.
Mm-hmm.
Common doesn't sing. That was too left field for me. It went completely over my head.
But
Childish Gambino was hot though.
Think about Common though. So we talked about that earlier. What Common, he didn't really try to sing. He put more singing in it.
Okay.
So he was ahead of everyone with that. So
point.
To your point, I don't think people was ready to accept it. sort of like the Drake shit.
Right.
So I loved it because, again, I'm a production guy. I'm always like, wow, I fucking love this. And everybody like, that's trash. Yeah. What the, who the hell is it? What is he trying to do? I said, he's trying to move the game. And they was like, I ain't ready for that shit.
Right.
And I'm like,
right,
come on now. And then he was like, I ain't doing that shit no more.
Yeah, it didn't work. It was ahead of its time.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I'm with it. I get it.
But to your point, I think Childish Gambino, he gave you flavors of that in his earlier albums.
Right.
Like he was going somewhere else.
Right.
So if you didn't have your mind right, it would have blew you away. Like, man, what's going on? But he gave it to you. So when he went that way,
true,
you kind of stopped yourself like, oh, shit. Then he was like, that's Childish.
And plus his lead single was Redbone, so it prepared you for what was to come.
Yeah,
very
true.
He didn't just drop the entire body of work and go here, and then you listen and you're like, whoa, wait, what? And then it take you a minute for your ears to adjust.
Okay, right. Okay, I got you. I got you on that. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is because we had recently talked about rap and the genres that they choose to put certain artists in.
True.
Hip-hop isn't these artists are creating a broader hip-hop view, I would say now.
Yeah.
To the point where you can't really say, all right, I listened to your podcast, XXX
Extension.
Yeah.
Now, you can't just be like, okay, he's a rapper, let me hear rap music. You know what I'm saying?
Go.
And pop it in.
Rap.
You know
Give
what
me
I'm 16, saying?
Go.
Because I love Kid Cudi.
Me too.
That's my man right there.
I think most of his albums that he dropped is awesome, but it's not neo soul, and it's not hip hop.
Not R&B.
And it's like borderline rock, but it's not rock.
True.
You know what I'm saying? But I accept it because he gives you that sound. It's music. You know what I'm saying? So,
but where do you drop him? So that's where we were talking about too. So when you listen to Kid Cudi Animal, where do you drop him?
I put it in the lane, and we discussed this on the podcast. I say it's hip hop.
Okay.
Because it's the culture that he's coming from. And you can say the same, and I argue this with my partner Spike Lou all the time. He doesn't think that this Lil Uzi Vert is rap. I said it's not rap. I said it's hip hop because number one, he's got hip hop production.
Okay.
Yep.
That's number one. Now what he's doing on top of that is another story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that that element is still in there, it's like, okay. People said the same thing with Mary J. when she had hip hop beats when she first came out.
Yeah.
That kind of blended the whole, like, what
R&B and R&B
is
and
it rap? Is it, R. Kelly used to rap and like, wait, hold on. Like, it's, so right. It's been going on for years. It's just on a different scale. And I'm thinking that the same way you got backpack rap or you may have trap rap, there's going to be a lane that these guys are creating that this is going to slide up under. We just ain't got a name for you.
Right. No. And that's what we was arguing about. When we did Kid Cudi, Gambino, and it was somebody else too, that we was kind of like saying, all of these people are changing the way people are coming out afterwards. And it just made it so weird because, again, the beats are hip-hop.
Yeah.
But then we turn around and you got some hip-hop people that has rock beats, but they do it so well.
Right. Yeah.
And you got to respect it. So when I was listening to this, back to Love is Rage, when I was listening to it, it was similar to, you know, like the Migos. It didn't go as far back as what, I keep forgetting. I just saw him when I was flipping through there. But it didn't go too far back because he did it so differently and he made it his own.
Yeah.
You know, you initially when you put your ear to it, you'll be like, oh, this is
the same shit.
Exactly.
Right.
But when you slow it down, you'll be like, yo, man, he's doing a little something different right here. So it made me respect it.
Okay.
I had to respect it. And I love creative people who says, I'm going to give you the same thing everybody else is, but now I'm going to flip it.
Yeah, show you what I can do.
And he did it. But he also has the advantage that he's like everywhere. You know, you got Kodak Black, you know, hating on his ass.
Yeah.
He's constantly out there. Then he's in there getting tickets.
Kodak Black hate on everybody, though.
Yeah, that's
my guy, but, you know.
Never got into that. Yeah, you know that. I cut that bitch off early. But that ain't my man. But yeah, so then he got into the racing shit down here. So he's getting his publicity in different ways. But you seeing him more and you hearing him more, right. And that's what making people go, I'm going to buy that shit.
Right, absolutely. Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely. So the publicity, the controversy helped him out.
Yeah, the festival run helped him out too. About a year and a half ago,
okay.
He went on a mean festival run.
With the Vert versus the World.
And was killing it.
Okay.
So he gained a huge fan base by putting on a big show, high energy, you know, songs you can sing along with.
That's what this is. This whole album is for the concert.
Yep.
This whole album, if you love Vert or you like Vert and you're ready to hear this album, you got to buy the concert tickets. You got to get a ticket
because
the whole album is based off of being in the concert and him performing it. You can tell by his delivery. You can tell by the beats and you can tell by the hooks. You know, when you're listening to it, you're like, for me as an artist, this is the point I didn't get to when I was an artist, where you can go into the studio and your mind is focused on, you can see yourself in the concert performing the song. So you know how to deliver the song. That's what this whole album is. And that's what really impressed me the most. Because I'm listening to it and I'm just like, why is this so good? It's so good because you can play it with the kids in a concert and they'll jump to it. But you can play it in a grown club and they'll also ride to it. Even though you don't know what hell he's talking about.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So but I had to give him credit for that. Yep, that's because that's how it was made.
Yeah, you can play it at the pregame on the way to the club.
Right.
At the house, you taking shots, you having this blasting through the beats pill.
Yeah.
It's going to ride the same way. It's versatile. So I agree with you. There's no way on earth, if you're a fan of this album, that you're missing this Love Is Rage 2 tour. It's impossible.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're going to be there. You're going to be turned up.
And this is why, when you said the hooks and how he gets you and you're just going to sing along, this is my favorite one because I find myself continuing saying,
for real?
For real. I was like, that's the shit right there. Yeah. I was like, see, he got me.
That call and response at the show is going to be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a performer, the way he writes,
right.
You know, he got his beat laid out perfectly.
Yeah.
He's the perfect performer right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, everybody else will probably kind of hype their shit to get people hyped. I think he made everything to be hyped to say, I can sing any of my shits and you're going to be hyped with it.
Yeah, I feel like he was on autopilot with this album.
Yeah.
He had his mind made up going in and you can tell he's in his bag. You see it with certain artists. It's almost as if they can do it in their sleep. And I feel like he's got the formula. Like, you know, when a quarterback is a rookie and the game is moving hella fast, so they're either throwing it too early or too late. Mm-hmm. They're getting sacked. They're getting happy feet. But then they get a couple of years in the game and the game starts to slow down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They start to know where people are going to be at before they're there. They start to, their anticipation gets better and they're able to read the game. I feel like with this project, he's able to read the game and he knows what's going to work. Like you said, he can picture it on stage. He can hear it in the club and he already knew it. I think he doesn't even write his lyrics down or what. I don't know. He said that like in an interview. You know, a lot of people say that now. That's cool to say now.
Yeah.
But whether he is or he isn't, if he isn't, then he's really like just got the sauce right now when it comes to making these joints.
Yeah, this is definitely a swag album, man. This definitely goes up there with the 2 Chainz. It's one of the best swag albums of the year because I'm a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm a big lyrical fan. You know, and even though he ain't got no lyrics as a rookie and understanding what these kids and what these younger generations are presenting, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I really like it. You know, now, if I was judging it based on J. Cole or anybody above that, you can definitely throw this in the trash.
But what did we say earlier? What did you help me with is, that ain't the lane you put him in.
Right.
That's not fair.
Because it wouldn't be fair. That's not the lane you put him in. So we got to divide these lanes up. And I like how you did the... how you had your awards for the year, you got to put them separately. Because if you put them up, that's disrespectful to say,
exactly.
Yo, this young kid is killing it, but yet you're going to put him up with Kendrick and goddamn, you know, all of these cats. Come on now.
Yeah.
That
ain't right.
It's a whole nother lane. And I think he has stood out. So I used to bundle him up with the younger generation, the kind of the famous Dexes, I'm drawing a blank, Magnolia, the Playboy Cardis.
Yeah.
I kind of bundled them all together, and I wanted to see who could separate themselves. And I feel like Lil Uzi Vert has done that with his team. I feel like Drama knows what he's doing with them. Like you said, he's got the publicity to go along with it. He's got the kind of the quirky, like he's on the album cover with what, a polar bear backpack on?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah, that's his shit though.
You see, but who else is doing that? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
he's got the colored hair. He was probably one of the first to do that
outside of blonde or red. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
He
brought
the colors, and so he's doing his thing, and he's standing out from the pack of those other artists. Mm-hmm. He's distinguishing himself, and I'm beginning to be a fan. Real talk.
Yeah. I gotta give him. The utmost respect. On a quick side note, before we go to the next, I was impressed by the XX Extentacion album.
I love it.
I was personally impressed. Yeah, because
so I heard that you loved it.
I love it.
I was impressed because this was his first album.
Okay.
And like Common, he waited to be diverse.
Right.
XXXTentacion, he was introduced as a rapper, but his first album is mellow rock.
Yep.
It's not rap.
Right.
No, it's not.
So
it's borderline hip hop.
It is.
It's borderline hip hop.
Right.
Yeah.
But he can definitely go rock from here.
Yeah, he can.
And he'll be fine. Exactly. He nobody good. Will be tripping about it.
Yeah.
You know, where did this come from? Or he can go full throttle rap.
He could.
Mm-hmm. And nobody would have no problems with it either.
Because he's on that fence with that.
But he introduced it. It wasn't like, okay, I did the real good mixtape. Let me drop an album that contributes to the mixtape. It was like, no, I did a real good mixtape. I'm going through some issues right now. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Fuck the industry. Let me tell you how I feel.
Yep.
I think this is the most important thing for me to talk about right now.
But you know what? The biggest thing with that, they let him do it.
They allowed him to do
that. They allowed him to do that. That was very surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because the sound of this album is another one that's kind of like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's dark. Right.
Yeah, it's very dark. Yeah. But it was a nice, smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It was smooth as fuck.
He had the guitar in there, man. I was like, when I heard the guitar on three of the first five tracks, I was just like, that's where we going.
Yeah.
All right. That's what's up. I'm all ears, homie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But it was dark. And you know, I kind of like dark kind of movies.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, dark stories and shit. Ew. So when he came with this, that's what I told you, like, yo, man, this wasn't fucking rap.
Yeah.
So I texted him, I was like, this shit ain't rap. But I thought it was so different, man. Ew. And I gotta hear it a little more because I can mix it in with a lot of things that I hear other than our regular rap that we listen to.
True.
So that's why I want to find something to go with that before we put a full review on that bitch.
Yeah.
True.
You know, so to give him that respect and that time. But
I don't know if you're going to find nothing close to that.
Yeah.
I was like, yo. Right. Nah, like, that took me back, though. Like I said, alternative rock in the 90s was the shit. It was the shit. I don't even think that genre exists anymore.
Foo Fighters is probably the closest to it.
Yeah.
They're making an album probably at the end of this month. But I listened to Imagine Dragons. They're trying to touch it, but they can't.
But they still on a higher. They still higher rock type.
Right.
They're not really that alternative
that grunge.
That real alternative grunge.
That's right. Grunge. That's not that grunge shit.
That's what X is. And I listened to it late Friday night. I just happened to be up. It blew my mind that the sound was that different. Like I haven't heard anything like that in years, though.
Well, I listened to the Breakfast Club.
I was like, whoa.
And they were like, the XXXTentacion coming out, and he's expressing to everybody that this is a album for people who are depressed.
Yeah.
That was like
he introduced that shit that way. The beginning, his intro told you that shit.
So I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that he did that.
So when before I even heard it, and when they said that, I was just like, okay.
Are you prepared?
Yeah. But I wasn't prepared for the rock.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I was prepared for melancholy, slow, smooth
something
beats.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
him kind of just writing poems or telling a small story. Nah, he went straight rock with this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. It was like it was like he was fucking with his white homeboys, and it was like, hey man, what do you think sounds good?
Yeah. Well, why don't you just rap?
I don't want to. Let's do something that we usually listen to.
No, man, let's do both.
Something that we usually listen to.
You think I could do both? Yeah, do both. And he did that shit.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Right.
So I just want to, I want to hear it in a different way now. Because when I first listened to it, which was pretty fucked up, I heard him say that in the beginning and I ignored it. I was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, just, you know, how people like to say shit.
Of course, big up shit.
And then he'd be like, okay, whatever. Then I was like, damn. Damn. And then when you said, yo, that shit really happened.
Second, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Where she committed suicide in front of him. Yeah. I didn't know that until I heard that.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. But it puts you in a whole nother state when you listen to that shit. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. Because it was so different.
Yeah.
But okay, rating.
So for a rookie album, because I'm gonna speak on that. For a rookie album and looking at all the other rookies that dropped their albums this year,
like Vic Mensa.
A side note, I actually did like the Yachty.
Wow.
A lot of the fans got a lot of feedback.
Not me.
But I seen where he was going with it, so okay. I kind of liked it, but. This Lil Uzi Vert, for all the rookie albums this year, oh man, this shit gets an 8. This shit gets an 8 because that.
Why would he get an 8?
Because of the feel that he's presenting to you, his unique, him sticking to Lil Uzi Vert.
Right.
I appreciate him sticking to Lil Uzi Vert because in these times, it's easy to kind of like float away and not be you. So you get 2 solid points for that. You know what I'm saying? The average person usually gets a half a point or a whole point. You get an extra whole point for having original content that sounds quality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not basing this off of lyrics because he's not a lyrical artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't be like, oh, well, the lyrics wasn't fire, so I had to take points away. No, that's
not what you're here for.
So style and production, you got them.
Style and production. Right.
Okay. Yep. What you got, Alan?
So we'll get 1 to 10.
Yep.
I'm going to give it a 7. I'm interested to see what he can do from here. I'm interested to see how he can capitalize because we know he can make the hits. I feel like the song on Weekend, that's a smash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Unfazed joint, that's going to go up in the club tomorrow.
Unfazed.
That shit hard. That's a layup. Unfazed. That shit is hard.
Unfazed.
And yeah. I feel like you said, his style is so unique. You'll start to hear people coming down the pipeline, and you're going to go, ah, he sounds like Lil Uzi.
Now, you said a 7. Now, is it a 7.0 or is it a 7.9?
I'm going to say it's a solid 7.
Okay.
Because there's still a little bit left to be desired. I am gonna hold it against him that he's not just completely talking about something. Just get like give me something. You know what I mean? Like, cause you can be turned up and still like take off though. And I've heard him flex his rapping muscles on the Meek and on the Bad and Bougie. Like he can talk about something if he wants to.
If he wants to.
It ain't gotta be deep and telling a story. He ain't gotta do all that shit. But just give me a little bit something, and you know, you just don't want any struggle bars. Just don't give me that. You know what I'm saying? Just don't give me that.
Right.
But no, I like it, man. It was 16 tracks. You know, cut the fat off a little bit. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's generally the case with a lot of people anyway, but cut the fat off, maybe cut 4 or 5 off, and it would have been complete fire. But I'm impressed. It lived up to my expectations, and I'm looking forward to what he can do next.
Okay. So real quick, compared to all the other rookies that dropped this year, where do you put it?
Man, I've said this on the show. I'm really digging this 2017 hip hop year. I feel like it's something for everyone. I feel like this is probably one of the best years in 20 years in terms of quality of music coming out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to definitely do a detailed research of the past 20 years.
Yes.
A body of work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I see what you're saying because I blame it all on Donald Trump, to be honest. No, it's some real shit. The past 8 years...
Yeah.
We had average music.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Literally, the past 8 years,
I agree.
We've had pretty average music.
Pretty the stars average. Came through, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
But nobody that could break through.
Exactly.
There was no breakthroughs. It was kind of like, yeah, let's wait on the next whoever.
But you look at when this Uzi dropped with 4 projects. Uzi, Action Bronson, ASAP Mob, and XXX.
Yep.
I rocked with all four of them for four totally different reasons. I feel like people have come out this year, and for the most part, with the exception of one or two, they haven't let their fan base down.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten a whole lot of new listeners. A lot of new people are like, yo, that X shit is hot. Yo, that Uzi shit. I wasn't even rocking with them, but I'm gonna turn it on. That shit's cracking. So combining that with the big dogs that have came through and delivered, and then Jay being 100 years old and doing what he's doing.
Right.
this year is amazing. Like 97, 98, you could say are like the golden years.
Yeah.
This shit is right up there with it, real talk.
Yep.
I mean, now them Rough Rider years was huge.
Crazy. Oh, yeah.
Rough Rider years was big.
Listen, 97, 98, 99, there was classics that dropped during it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was multiple classic projects. So we went through a dry spell with Snap Music, and it was kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Ringtone rap, shit mm-hmm, like that. It kind of mm-hmm. slowed up a little bit. Now I think we're getting back to getting busy. Like, it's cool to be lyrical. You can be Kendrick.
Right.
You can be Cole. That's not lame anymore. Right, you know what I'm saying? It kind of went away for a second.
But you can be Future. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you have a wide range of artists that you can choose from.
Absolutely.
So you're absolutely right about that.
So I give you mine because I'm normally that guy. So I'm gonna go. He's in another lane.
Okay.
True.
So since I see him in a different lane, I actually got him at an 8.
Word.
I got him at an 8 because I don't want to put him in with so many of these good artists that I'm kind of like, yo, you've been out for a while. I'm loving Logic. I'm hearing that. Yeah. I'm hearing, you know, all these different other artists that had a history behind them, a body of work that you can go back and go, yo, that was fly. Oh, this was cool. Damn, he's doing something different. This dude came and made me listen.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
He may not be saying much of shit, but he's got me going, damn, I'm going to listen to this a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's why I got it at 8.
Okay.
Second, I really like the production.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Because it's really different. It's not the same sound that you're accustomed to. And that's Uzi. That's how his beats come.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I agree.
So, I got it at a strong 8. If I didn't see how he would just move the crowd and see him being that star, I would have been in a mid-7.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It would get a 7-2.
Yeah.
If I didn't know who Uzi Vert was, and I was really being biased of his lyrical content,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, he'll get 6-8 strictly off of beats.
Yep. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Because they were nice. They were different. They were new.
Cool.
You know, so yeah, you got to give it to him because rap is being watered down. Rap has always been watered down. Rakim was the man. Big Daddy Kane was the man. And then we watered down to.
No, then Nas came right behind
then
him.
Then Nas came right behind him.
He was a chosen one and shit. And
right.
And so, then the Biggie eras with the Tupac. Yeah.
Right.
And then it was jumping from that. But there was really just a couple of people that came out during a certain era that people gravitated toward,
mm-hmm.
and then there was some floaters.
Of course,
and then floaters in between.
A bunch
exactly.
of little shit
exactly.
floating, floating
fillers.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah, little fillers and everything. But I think, I mean, I totally agree with you. This is really fascinating to hear the amount of good production that's out this year.
Oh, my God.
It's like, wow.
That's a cardinal. If anybody drops nowadays in this climate and rap and your production is not A1, yeah, like it's damn near impossible to not have A1 production.
Yeah.
It's too many people. You can get beats off SoundCloud. A dude in Idaho putting his beats in SoundCloud and they fire. You know what I'm saying? Like it's inexcusable. That's why I was hot at Young M.A. Project, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah,
beats were garbage.
And it was only like 7 tracks on there. Yes. And it was only like 2 songs that was good.
It was cardinal sin. You can't come out with trash production, bro.
I listened to some cats from Korea that has some fire ass beats.
You see what I'm
and
saying?
I'm like, damn. I wanted to use them on a podcast just to lay them underneath, man.
Right.
I was like, yo, these motherfuckers is fire.
On, man. That's inexcusable nowadays.
It's inexcusable.
Bro.
So
straight up.
I think we kissed this dude ass long enough. But so we're gonna go to my bias pick, which is Davies.
Harlem's back.
Davies.
Yeah.
So I'm a Harlem cat. So when I heard it, I was kind of like, oh, okay, he's good. He got a good rhythm. He's a storyteller. He's really, you know, I like this.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with the new one. I heard his old shit and said, this new one ain't fucking that good. No. Man, that the one, his daughter.
Kyrie Chanel.
That shit was fire.
Yes, sir.
I was like, yo. And then I went back and was like, but he sound like, what did I tell you, Sean? He sound like Pharrell Monch on his first.
He has that Pharrell Monch sound.
He wasn't as lyrical as Pharrell Monch, but the sound and his rhythm, the way he went through, and his production was just straight fire on those two.
Yeah.
This one was, we got to get it so people can be familiar with him.
Yeah.
He can lay on top of it. He has some, you know, some decent little skits that caught your attention, but that dude is, that's Harlem for you, man. Mm-hmm. And he just laid out storytelling, hard shit, and then said, yo, I'm going to dismiss all them niggas like that. So I really enjoyed this cat. Yeah. I enjoyed his earlier shit, but this one, yeah, he gets a lot of credit for me.
Yeah. See, Dave East, let me give you just my backstory with Dave East. There's a mixtape act called Spinrella.
Right. Okay.
I go on there and check the new releases every once in a while. Random select somebody new, give them three tracks. Mm-hmm. If it's cool, I keep it going and then mention him on the show, make myself real smart if he blows up. I did that one day with Dave East. He had a project called Black Rose that was on there a long time ago, three, 4 years ago. Said it on the show. I sound like a genius now. Everybody act like they don't remember the shit, but that's okay.
It's recorded, dog.
Yeah, exactly. I need to go find it. I heard the Black Rose. I was like, yo, this Dave East kid, nice. And, you know, everybody's kind of always looking for the new, like, New York guy.
Yeah.
Take the torch and keep it going. I was like, yo, dude, nice. And so he linked up with Nas. Mm-hmm. And I think the Kyrie Chanel was his coming out party.
Yeah. Right.
That introduced him to a lot of people, to the masses.
So many features. That's
hella features. Mm-hmm. But he was versatile on it, though. He could, his street shit, his storytelling shit, which people have totally gone away from.
Yep.
But then he can jump on a song with 2 Chainz and swag it out and ride the beat on some South shit, but still be Harlem with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a huge fan of that project. This is one of the few projects that let me down this year because I'm that big of a fan of his.
Okay.
I feel like they had the single with Chris Brown and they thought they had one with it. And so they forced themselves to put this project out. I feel like when I gave it my first listen, it ended and I was like, oh, okay. That's it. Like, that's it kind of just ended abruptly. Essentially, it's 10 tracks.
Yeah.
With hella skits.
It ended so abruptly.
Yeah,
it just ended.
I
thought there was some more tracks.
And then it went
right
back to the top. I was like, huh? Damn it, was there more to this motherfucker?
My shit stopped. I was like, okay. It just kind of ended. And I was kind of a little unsatisfied from what I had heard. Now, that's not to say that there's not heat on here. We'll get more into that. There's definitely some shit that I rock with heavy. But as a whole body of work, I was just a little bit let down coming off that high of what was his last project and the build up with the Hate Me Now, which was before it. So he had been taking steps and headed in the right direction. I think this was a little bit of a step backwards.
But I think it was a step backwards for a person who followed him.
Absolutely.
So, again, I came with clean ears.
Gotcha.
Never heard him. Yo, it's this New York nigga coming out. He's telling these stories. Man, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Then I went backwards and was like, damn, dude, why you come up with that shit?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have came out with... And then Sean told me, look, man, mixtapes are totally different than production stuff.
Let me go ahead and address this real quick. So everybody know that Lil Wayne was the first one to start watering down mixtapes. But just a real quick history lesson... Gucci Mane was really the first one
to
start watering down mixtapes.
Yeah. Right.
But here was the catch. His mixtapes were so fucking good. When his album came out, everybody was like,
womp womp.
So-and-so, with some lemonade. You remember that bullshit?
Yeah, hell yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, and then like 2 weeks after that, he'll drop a mixtape. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, don't even worry about it. So you have to understand that the record label wants something. And Gucci Mane, I was thinking about this. This is probably what happens to a lot of artists. The record label be like, all right, I need you to send me 30 songs. 30 songs? All right, bet. I'm finna send y'all the hottest tracks.
Yep.
Send you the tracks. The record label calls back the next day. Yeah, we're going to need 30 more tracks.
Yeah.
What?
I just gave you the fire
these
shit.
These are my hottest tracks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right, here. I got some more hot tracks. Boom. All right, 2 days after that, because they missed a day. Hey, they're supposed to hit me up. Hit you up the day after. Well, you know, we got 60 tracks, and we're just going to need like 30 more tracks. Do you think you can give us like 30 more tracks? Fuck.
Yeah.
So these 30 tracks is like, all right, well, I got a feature with Mariah Carey. All right, well, let me see what, you know. And then I got this other feature. All right, these ain't my hottest songs. But, yeah, here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let me see what the record label does. And the record label picks 15 of the last 30 tracks.
Yeah.
And don't even use the first 60 tracks.
Mm-hmm. They're on the shelf.
And then the album drops. And everybody's like, what the fuck was you doing? Your mixtape was so hard. Yeah. Why would you drop shit like this? And you can't bash the record label.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You kind of just have to be like, well, you know, it's kind of the direction that we were going, you know, out of this and out of that. And
but even on top of that, though, Sean, honestly, that's not just them taking the last 15. They want a certain sell. Right. So the hard shit, I got you.
Can't market it.
But I can't sell that.
Right.
Exactly. So when they hear these features, they was like, oh, you got an established person with this, and this is what's hot right now. We're going to pick these.
Mm-hmm.
So they fucked the artist totally up.
Clearly.
Yeah, because you've been already getting in the streets, this is who you are.
Right.
And then you come behind it with this bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just destroys them. But that's a really good point, because we didn't even discuss that. Because if they ain't got time, like, get these 30 ones out of here. Could we get 30 more? I'm just not ready for that. And you're like, oh, shit. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, we ain't got time. We got to hurry up and release it.
Yeah.
And then they picked the last 15.
That 15.
And you're like, what the fuck?
Horseshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now, if you could argue, I feel like Wiz and Fabulous are the poster children for fire ass mixtape, mediocre ass album.
Booty ass
like,
albums,
them niggas are the logos for that shit.
Yeah.
So, like, for whatever reason, I'm with you on your assessment. That's probably how it go, man. It's a shame.
Yeah, it's just, but with Dave East,
that's exactly how I seen it.
Okay.
I seen it as Dave East is super hard.
Yep.
You know, and this is my little background about Dave East. I knew how good he was by all the praise he was getting. So I chose not to listen to him because now that I'm listening to albums, mm-hmm. I didn't want to prejudge him of the greatness that he was given and then listen to the album and be like, oh, well, the album is this and that. I wanted to listen to the album.
Right.
So
right.
I listened to the album and I was just like, he's a storyteller.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
We picked that up. Yep.
He's pretty hard.
Yep.
Okay. All right. He got some slow songs. I see what they're doing. See, automatically.
Yep. Yep.
Automatically. Because I didn't hear Dave East, even though I know he could get hard, but I didn't want to hear it because I knew the album wasn't going to be as hard as nothing that he's presented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just how record labels do. So I'm listening to it. I'm just like, okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. What's the one he had with the chick? I found a way.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right. So this is about to turn up.
That's hard.
I was like, okay, this album is about to go up. It did it. It kind of stayed even.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? And then it was over. It was just like.
It ended super abruptly.
Yeah. It was like, all right. Because
you was expecting, what's the next?
The buildup. Yeah.
And it didn't get there.
It was fast food, man. It was totally fast food for me.
That's a good point.
So, I appreciated him. And I seen what the album was. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, it was just like, okay, I like Dave East. But I heard him on the Ferg.
Oh, yeah, he took off.
Still striving. And
oh, yeah, the
both snapped on that shit.
Yeah, he killed it.
All that shit was hard.
Yeah. He killed it.
You know
he
what I'm saying? So, and they both came out the same week.
Absolutely.
And that's what made me like the Ferg, because I was like, yo, this is that Dave East I was told to listen
right,
to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And both of them on, I was like, damn.
Took off.
Yeah. I can't wait to listen to this Dave East now.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I heard the Ferg first.
Okay.
But all them motherfuckers, man, ASAP.
Yeah.
It's just too much to listen to. Some motherfuckers there.
I understand. Man. Trust me, I understand. I get that.
And but you went through them though, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I went through. You know, it's solid to me. The fan base has spoken. They've pretty much crowned it as, you know, it's typical ASAP shit. Mm. So they rock with it. And one issue that I had with this Dave East, man, and I don't know if it's because he got a lot of hype behind him. Nas signed this Nas new artist.
Yeah, Nas new artist.
You know what comes with that. And in the Def Jam deal came, it's like, oh, hold on. You're not signing the Def Jam. You're not signing the Nas and you trash. Like, you got to be dumb nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So expectations were through the roof, and he backed it up with the last project. So many of these songs, in my opinion, come off as throwaways. Like the song, it kicked off with the Jeezy feature that we didn't need. I get it. That's the Def Jam connection.
Right.
Bro, the Jeezy verse sound like it was 3 years old. I'm going to be honest. Then we get the next joint featuring Nas, and he don't give us no 16.
No.
That's the feature I need.
He introduces, and he has the ending for
him. Yeah, I was like, what is this? What the fuck? So I'm let down off the rip. Like, okay.
Okay.
This isn't going well at all.
This is what I was expecting, because from the Hate Me Now joint,
yes,
had Nas on it.
Right. Yes.
And I was like, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this Hate Me Now is what I love about him and know what he's going to do.
Right.
If they let him.
If they let him.
If they let him.
I feel like when you're signed to Nas and how Nas has kind of failed back these last couple years, those 16s are few and far between. We need you need a Nas 16 on your project, Davies.
Yeah.
Like, you can be the dude known to bring Nas out of retirement whenever you drop.
Yep,
right. I'm at least getting a Nas 16 on here.
Right.
At least. That gives me something to look forward to if you're not into him for anything else. You know what I'm saying? So I was let down off the top. That shit, that Forbes list shit was crazy. That Hate Me Now. I feel like the Found a Way joint is dope. But Dave East, and specifically on that Hate Me Now project, he had a song called Numb. And I felt like that shit was so real. And he can pull on the emotional strings and have you feeling some type of way. I always say this on the show. If I don't cry, then it ain't fire. You understand what I'm saying? So whether that's a movie, whether that's a book, a song, it needs to be able to tap into that aspect, because not everyone can do it.
Right.
And he did it with that, and I just didn't, nothing on here made me cry. Nothing at all.
No, not
it just
at
didn't
all.
It yeah. didn't touch me in any kind of way. That's what hurt. And I feel like he just, oh my goodness, listen. He performed this live in Miami at the Revolt.
Oh, really?
Yes. Listen. Killed it. And that's why I like it. Because that's why people like Nas. Nas played by his own rules.
Right.
They got upset with Nas when he tried to go commercial and get Genuine. And No. Give me the one mic, bro. You know what I mean? That's not a single, air quote. But you do it. You can do that shit.
And that's what they need to do with Dave East.
Exactly.
And I think you're absolutely right. I don't understand why they felt like they had to sell and market Dave East when he already had an established name.
He's got the look.
He's
got the look.
And they're Jewish.
Yeah.
What the B.O.B. said. Hey, I already know.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you listen to it, if you listen to Barrel Munch, that kind of slang way he's talking, I was just feeling all the way through this. And these are all New York beats in a good way.
Yeah.
Absolute quality.
It wasn't forced. It wasn't that forced. Yeah.
Boom bap.
Here's that boom bap. You gotta have it. New York. Like that Styles P and your boy, Tali.
Right.
Those was okay.
Right.
This is that shit.
Well, I think, Going back to they're trying to sell and stuff, you go and you look at South rappers, and you look at South albums that aren't signed to major labels, and they most of them sound like mixtapes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Most of these albums sound like mixtapes down here if you're not signed to a major label.
Yeah.
And so what I think the thing is it's a major label issue. You know, I think when you choosing to try to take the shortcut, because these days it's taking a shortcut. I don't want to work. I don't want to put my promotion out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. When everybody in the South is pretty much independent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And making guap.
Crazy.
But you feel like, oh, well, I got to sign. So I feel like he made that mistake. I feel like if he would have signed to an independent label that didn't want any type of major publicity, this album would have been as clean as Hate Me Now.
Yeah.
But do you think he was thinking in that way? They gave him a major label had the backing. Nas already pushed him all the way forward.
Yeah,
and everybody was fucking feeling him.
It was initially Nas that blew his head up with it because he's like, well, I'm signed with Nas. Well, guess what? Def Jam want to sign with you, too.
Come
you
on
goddamn
now.
Right. I'm going to sign with you.
Do it.
That's a double dose.
Though,
exactly.
Even though Def Jam always goddamn fucks you over. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They are known to fuck you
eventually,
over.
Eventually.
And this is the catch. Now, this is the catch with me. Logic's three albums is on Def Jam. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I feel like he got fucked over is because I just heard Under Pressure this year.
Oh, wow.
Def Jam wasn't pushing him like that.
No,
that,
he does numbers really. Though. He still does
but
numbers.
He does
though.
Numbers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But as far as a label,
true,
the fucking label don't do shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And I personally feel like the label is like, oh, okay, you got your wave, you got your buzz. You know, we don't really fuck with you like that, and you're not on the scene like that. So yeah, you can go ahead and make your own album.
You on your own.
You know what I'm saying.
Basically,
you can go ahead and make your own album. Okay, this is what you want to present.
Cool.
Okay, so well, since you already have your fan base, we'll kind of skim through it. But we'll just keep it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
because
right.
You're not our priority. You're not our main priority. You're not going to make us the money that we think that you're going to make.
Yeah.
Even though that motherfucker big now.
Yeah.
He's one of Def Jam's biggest artists.
Absolutely. And I feel like with the labels, and this has been going on since the beginning of time, like they think they know what's best despite the grassroots that you've already kind of built up.
Created, and established on your damn own.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They still want to... You know, they think they know it all when it comes to the marketing and all of this. They can tell you more about you than you can. At least that's what they think.
Right.
Man, I always go back to the comedian. I don't know if y'all remember Afion Crockett.
Yeah, light-skinned cat.
Light-skinned dude does the Jay-Z impressions
and
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He fell off, bro.
He had the popping show on YouTube.
Yeah, he did.
Shit was going
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Got him a deal with Fox. He said when he got the Fox TV show... They totally flipped, wasn't hearing what he had to say. He was like, yo, I know my audience, though. Like, this is what they like. Let's keep doing this.
They said, hell no.
They said, no, we're going to do with what has worked in the past, whether that fits you or not.
Right.
Of course, it flopped, and that's got us sitting right here and you saying, damn, where that nigga at?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
He was a man. Like, he created his own buzz.
Right.
Like, two solid years strong.
You see what I'm saying? And they screwed it up. They watered it down, and they screwed it up. So I feel like I just don't want that to happen to East, man. Don't just throw him the Chris Brown feature and think that's all you need.
Don't do the Ty
Dolla $ign feature and think that you... But you don't need... It's a new day.
Yeah,
you don't have to have a quote-unquote big single to be cooking out here. Logic doing hella numbers. You can't name me the song that's on the radio.
Like, I can't.
You can't.
Right.
It's because you don't need it. The game has changed.
Right,
so
I just don't
want him to fall victim.
Because it's on the internet.
Exactly.
I don't need to hear the radio no more. And then if I put that online, I blow up SoundCloud, throw your shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you're going to pay me because look who's following me. Look at everything that I'm doing. There's too many outlets that you can go to now.
Yeah.
Other than saying, I got to be on the radio.
Yeah, no. It's going to get shared on YouTube. It's going to get shared on SoundCloud.
It's going to get shared on WorldStar.
Come on now. Word of mouth is the move now. That's the new promo.
Yeah.
You don't need the other shit.
Yeah. So that's what make it amazing. I think this dude is so good, but I'm just looking forward to his next one. To your point.
Absolutely.
Because I see what he did. He had to get it out there.
Right.
He still got good buzz.
True.
But will they allow him to say,
it's going
to
be his third album. It's going to be, I told you that. I already told you that.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be his third album. I think his second album, he's going to still try to convince the labels and Nas. Or maybe it's Nas.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe so.
You know, maybe it's
I'd
like,
be disappointed if that was the case. I'd be hot at Nas. I ain't gonna
So
lie.
I think Nas learned from him trying to do that. So I don't think that would be him.
Okay.
That's a good point.
You know, because when he tried to go that route, to your point,
come on
I'll get these features and all these singing motherfuckers on there. Now,
trash.
Let me do a jazz album. And dude, you're the lyrical master and you're doing this bullshit.
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
And then his production got weak down. And I was like, come on, Nas. Yeah. I couldn't even listen to him much no more.
Yeah.
But I think Dave can do it. I think I love that New York sound with some quality New York production.
Yeah.
And they gave it to him.
Yeah.
They gave it to him.
Yeah.
You just need to go back to it and shit.
I think again, I don't want to say he's feeling himself. I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like the chicks all on him now. Ain't they cute and shit? And
he the man now.
And I know it's hard. It's one thing to say stay humble. It's obviously easier said than done when everybody's feeling you, whenever you know, when you're winning, you work to get to this point and you're winning. It's hard to stay humble, but you always got to remember it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. Mm-hmm. So that's how you stay grounded. And maybe the label is kind of making him do a certain thing. They did it with J. Cole first, too.
Yeah.
Until they let him live on the third one.
Yeah.
They did it with the Migos first joint. You know what I'm saying? They made them kind of do a certain thing, and then they let them live on the newest one. Right. Even Future. Remember when he was doing duets with Ciara and all that shit?
His first two albums was like,
shit was garbage. And then he was like, fuck this. I'm Monster, Street Shit, March Madness.
And then he dropped the Dirty Sprite. And then he dropped Dirty Sprite.
I'm going back to the roots.
When they
hands off and let you do you and what got you to that point in the first place, then all the singles and all that bullshit doesn't even come into play.
So I definitely see it. So for this album, me personally, for a rookie album, for an album alone, for a standalone album this year, that shit gets about a 6-8. But for a rookie album this year, I definitely give it a 7-2. Because he does have potential.
Absolutely.
You see the potential.
So I don't think he has potential. I think he already has it.
Right. He already has it.
He went backwards because the way they wanted him to go.
He just
took a step back.
Okay.
So what you got, Adam?
I'm gonna say, it's above average. I'm gonna give it a 5.7.
Whoa!
I know,
he's a hard.
Wow. I know. I have high.
It's hard.
I have high hopes for Davies.
Yikes!
And I'm telling you, I first listened to it and it ended, and I was like, okay, did I doze off? Let me run it back. I said, okay, Found a Way is hot. The last joint, Have You Ever?
Right. Yeah, the last one.
Fire.
That,
and I was like, okay, now we're getting started, and then my music
stopped. And it went right back to the first one, the Paranoid. I was like, what the fuck happened?
I said, whoa. That's all. So again, I don't the joint with French, like I don't really, French sound like he had a cold. Like, what is this?
Trying to maneuver.
I wasn't feeling that. It got a couple joints on here, man. It's not, don't get it twisted. It's not trash. I'm not saying that at all. It's just I expect a little more. And from this otherwise stellar year, I have to compare it to everything else, the climate. He let me down just a little bit.
I respect totally what you said because, once again, you're a follower.
Right, exactly.
You was a follower before this got hit.
Yeah.
So I wasn't a follower. I just loved this album. But then when I went backwards, I got disappointed.
Gotcha.
So I'm at a 7.5.
Okay.
Because... if I would have heard, you know, the other two, though.
Kyari and Chanel.
Hate Me Now. I mean, that's almost a 9.
Yeah,
that shit blew me off. I was like, yo, this is the nigga that you need to hear now.
Absolutely.
But then hearing the new album, it was kind of like, I'm going to go with what Sean says. It's the fucking label. They trying to sell a sound and a certain way of doing things because they want that. Not what he wanted.
Right.
They need him to do that. And he had to settle for it.
Yeah. I can't blame him for that.
But I can't. But I'll blame him if he comes out with his next album and it's still as watered down. Then I'm like, yo, man, you just chasing money now.
Yeah, right.
You love
and
the fame.
And that's what I think he's going to be.
You loving all it. No, yeah. I think.
You signed your shit away.
I think people are telling him, yo, man, why did you go with that shit? I think his people are saying that.
I'm hearing a lot of people like, yo, like, this shit's hot, though.
Right.
Like, real talk.
Right.
We got a Facebook group called The Rap Chat. Man, people are like, yo, the Davies is fire. This is what Fab should have made. And this is, I'm like, whoa.
Really?
Yes, bro. Like, people are fucking with it heavy. Ooh. And I'm like, man,
but
he's done better.
But is it they first touch with him?
That's a good point.
So I think first touch is me.
Yeah.
I'm like, Davies. This is
he's
who you need to.
He's a storyteller. Yeah. When you first hear his delivery, his voice, and his lyrics, it's like, initially, it's like, this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, if this was your first body of work, hearing him, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I'm with him. Mm-hmm. I fuck with him this way. But when you hear his previous shit, yeah. you are so disappointed.
Like, man, you're this like, ain't yo, you. This ain't you.
Why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
But then you know why.
Even so. With the stories, the on the last joint, Keisha, mm-hmm. that yeah, shit was yeah, fire. Yeah. That story yeah. was fire. You're and even
about the Pierre Chanel.
Yeah, yeah, and even yeah. the Don't Shoot, where he was rapping with the little kid voice, and mm-hmm. then when he grew up and then ended up getting shot by the cop.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That shit was fire. Yeah. He doesn't have that on here.
No, not yeah. at all.
It's just not on this one. And I'm like, ah, like, come on, man. Four skits? One of the skits 3 minutes long. What yeah, are you I know. Doing?
Because I was waiting for it to something to kick in.
Yeah,
and I was like, are you kidding me?
No.
Benny be like, yeah, hating ass nigga. I was like,
that's it?
That's it.
Yeah, and then Nas intro and he out?
Nah, yep. bro.
Right after the yeah, that 6 minutes.
So there was too many disappointing shits to draw you in.
Absolutely.
It drew you in to say, oh, yeah, he's got about 13 cuts on, 14 cuts yeah. on here. One is a complete fuck up skit.
Right.
Another one is, oh, here come Nas.
Nope.
Yeah. Fooja. Introducing.
Fooja.
Thanks for coming.
Right.
That's what that nigga did, man. Yeah. I was like, damn, Nas. What's up? So I'm like, wow. But, no, so I look forward. I really like his style. I really love his storytelling because, to your point, there's not a lot of storytelling out right now.
Nah.
That's quality. Somebody right. say, yeah, I went to the club and blah, blah, blah. Nah, yeah, I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, no.
What about that life lessening shit that going on? It don't may not come out right.
True.
But we're gonna walk you through that motherfucker. And that's what I really enjoyed about him.
Yeah.
But we got to see, though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to his next project, man. He's still Dave East. Like,
exactly.
He snapped on A$AP Ferg. He snapped on DJ Paul album that just dropped. Who knew, A, DJ Paul had an album, and B.
DJ Paul had an album. I just,
really?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't look at that. But I'm going to listen to it now.
Dave East is on it. Like, right. What? How the fuck did that happen? But he snapped on that. So he's going to do his thing, man. But I just, you know. I just
what's the other one I told you to listen to, Sean?
Action Bronson.
Yeah.
That's just hot.
I'm going to check it out.
So
I heard a piece of it. I heard a snippet of it.
He sounds
like Ghostface.
He sounds exactly
a little like Ghostface, but a style like Fat Joe.
Okay.
So I kind of have a little of those two.
Okay.
But here's the key. Don't listen to his old shit.
Ah.
I kind of liked this album better than his previous shit.
Okay.
I think his production was fine, but the one thing I'm disappointed with, there's like fucking 2 minutes, a minute and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
some short shit that yeah, he goes nah, through,
he not going to give you the 316s and the hooks.
No.
He's not going to
do
that. Okay. It's not going to be, you know, the traditional way of making music, but you have to pick and choose if you are to listen to some of his older shit.
Yep.
You have to pick the right one. Yeah. It's one of those situations. He's got some bullshit.
But I think this one was a good body, though.
Yeah,
This one I went all the way through. The other ones I was kind of like, what the
skill.
Fuck?
Yeah, you jump around. Fuck?
But no, I wanted to hear it all the way through, but I didn't put it back on. I just went back to the new one again and shit.
I like Action Bronson. He's entertaining as hell.
Yeah, he is entertaining, though.
They're funny as shit. Like, he's very creative and out there. Not to compare him to another white rapper, but it's giving me Eminem with the whole, like, the creative bars and the rhyming shit just to be... Yeah. No. He's rhyming shit that doesn't necessarily make sense in the story aspect, but it's just
funny.
But
he puts it together, and you don't say, why the fuck... You're like, what's his name said, brush your teeth, Colgate,
yeah,
the fuck out of here,
Who the hell said that? So I cannot listen to
Thugger. The young Thugger.
Young Thugger.
Yeah, I don't even want to.
But he's not a 2 Chainz either, though. So don't expect 2 Chainz. Mm. 2 Chainz is clever.
He is.
Yeah, he's clever with his shit.
Yeah, he is.
But what's his name? He's Action Bronson. He's funny.
That shit's funny. Cat.
Yeah. Okay. With some really good production.
Yo.
So I'm downloading now.
Yep. So, great, man. You always give it a... got my on deck up in here. I got that. I love that flavor, though.
I appreciate
really appreciate it. Definitely appreciate you coming through.
I appreciate the invite, man.
So throw your tags out. Throw what's up.
Man, holler at me on all things social media, Animal_Brown. I get teased because I have an underscore in my
name.
Yeah,
your man.
They wear me out every episode.
He's the only nigga that still got an underscore.
Right.
I'm holding on tight to that underscore, man. I won't let it go. But holler at me. Follow my show page at On Deck TV Podcast on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Excellent. Ooh. What you got, Sean?
You know, the usual, man. Just catch me. You can catch us on, YouTube at Bougie Black Brother. We was trying to record this, but I guess my pops didn't press the record button on it.
Yes, it did. It fucking stopped.
It did it.
Yeah.
Maybe the camera did. All right, well.
Fucking dead camera and
right,
shit.
So, but yeah, you can definitely catch me on Instagram, Stop Calling Me, and then you can catch me on Twitter, DJ Activist. Activist like the scissor.
Scissor.
Yes, sir.
Stop Calling Me.
Yep, Stop Calling Me on IG.
Without the G.
With oh, yeah, Stop Calling Me Without the G on IG.
That's right. Bougie Black Brother, Bougie Black Brother Network. Don't forget. BougieBlackBrother.com, BougieBlackBro on Instagram and a Twitter, and you can get us on Tumblr. We throw that on there just for a couple of blogs on there, but I also throw a lot of the podcasts just in case you're swinging over to another session. Facebook, we got to probably build something on that, but we got only, I think it's Urban Wine Life is on there. So that's the only one that's on there. But we're probably going to build up the Bougie Black Network. And don't forget the YouTube. So we're trying to get a couple more recordings in. But a lot of the podcast is on there now, too. So if you're hanging out, looking at a couple of things, and then you just want to hear a podcast, we are on there. So check us out. Once again, Car Wax, we got a lot in store. We're going to try to build some things up. Me and Sean get a couple of special guests. Animal Brown came here, fucking ripped it up, set some fire for us, but we really appreciate it. So thanks, and we'll see you soon on Car Wax.
Peace.
Holla.